ourselves before you. We clothe our heads, O God, with sackcloth. We declare before you that flesh and blood, O God, cannot glory in your presence. So we thank you for drawing us to your presence, for calling us to you. Father, we thank you that you are going ahead of us to establish your heart and your purpose for this solemn assembly. Thank you for hearing our cry. Thank you for making this your program, your agenda, your purpose. And let your name alone be greatly magnified in our midst. Father, we yield and we will continue to yield to your spirit. And we humbly say, have your way. Have your way. You've called us to an assembly. You've given us the grace to be here. Father, give us the grace to surrender, to submit, and to absolutely let you have your way. Thank you for you have begun to do it. Continue. Continue, Holy Spirit. Have your way. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you've gathered here tonight. Father, we thank you that none of us will live the same. And Father, at the end of this gathering, America will not be the same. This atmosphere of this capital region will not be the same, because we have allowed you to have your way. Thank you that our coming and our gathering will not be in vain. Be glorified, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the things that He's beginning to do, and for the greater things that He will do. Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you. It has been years of preparation. And we thank God that you've done your part and we're here. So it's time to allow God to do His part. Amen. Amen. I want to again thank God so much for the leaders God has given to us. That God has given such grace and wisdom, humility to lead us to where we are today. And all our various network leaders and coordinators, and every one of you that have served so diligently and so humbly to keep the favor of God upon this move and for what God is doing. And again, I thank God and will continue to pray for this house that has given us the opportunity to gather under your roof. Amen. So thank you all so much for coming out tonight. And I believe if we go home tonight and just reflect on what God has done already, we'll be ready for tomorrow. Amen. So we thank God for those that have obeyed the Lord tonight. Amen. Amen. By the grace of God, I want to just for us to discuss together and to reflect on something tonight that will help us really connect with the reason that we are in this gathering. And also, we want to leave this solemn assembly knowing that truly we have received from the heart of God, and that God has moved upon us. The prayer training is strategically and intentionally designed to position us for the solemn assembly, so that on that day of the solemn assembly, as we gather, we will be able to meet the heart of God. And truly, why we are gathering in this year will be accomplished. Not only that, but also for us to be empowered corporately and individually to serve God in a more prophetic and more fruitful way. Amen? In our various ministries, in our homes, in our families, in every way we represent God, that this will make us more effective believers when we live this training. So God has blessed us with and given us humble leaders that will be speaking to us, leading us in worship, leading us in prophetic songs, and taking us from glory to glory. So I believe by the grace of God, keep them in your prayers, the prayer committee has been praying, that you will be hearing from so many people tomorrow. And I pray that everyone will allow God to have his way. Amen. Tonight, I want to mention and reflect on the subject of the prayer training, the theme of the prayer training. And the theme is, the kingdom of God suffered violence. Amen? But the violent take it by force. This is in the book of Luke. Chapter 11. Verse 12. Matthew 11, verse 12. Jesus was speaking to his disciples. He said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Take it by force. The reason for this theme is because the scripture we just read, if you study it very well, has to do with spiritual warfare, has to do with war. He said the kingdom of God suffered violence, but it will take the violent to take it by force. In the book of John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come, amen, to give what? Life, and life more abundantly. The different leaders that will be, you'll be hearing this the whole of tomorrow, we'll be focusing on the different mountains of influence. By study, there are seven various mountains, seven various areas that influence a city, a nation, and the culture of that nation and that city. And these various seven areas that have been tested through generation, but used in our days, the terminology in our days, are the mountains of government, economy, the church, education, arts and entertainment, commerce, and just seven of them. These various mountains, they influence the culture and they dictate to a generation their future. So, if the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent has to take it by force, means that whoever controls this mountain controls the culture. Amen? And so there's a contention for these mountains of influence or these places of divine, or these places of government in our nation, in our city. So I want to, because they'll be sharing on these various mountains, I want to bring to you from a totally different direction this war, this spiritual war over nations and over culture. The question I want us to think through as we look at this subject tonight is, when God looked in Genesis chapter 6, God himself said he repents for creating man. Because he looked at man and he noticed that their ways have been corrupted. Completely against him. Their mind, their emotions, everything has turned against God. Except for a family that found favor with God. A whole generation. If you look at the first time God put man in the garden, he had everything. The scriptures go to read, everything was given to them, dominion, to subdue, to rule, to reign. Everything they needed, they had. There was nobody to blame that abused them or caused problem or stole money or took their wife or took their... Nobody wounded them. They had everything perfect. But still, something happened that brought them into a place of disobedience that has affected the DNA of the natural man up till this day. A sin. If you look through the Bible, you will see, you can ask people like Solomon, people like Samson. Solomon had so much power, but still could not rule at a point the way God intended it to. Samson had so much anointing, but just this woman had so much power over him. You look through the Bible, you ask yourself, how has this happened and how does it work? That God, who created man in his image and planted man in this earth and wanted man to know him, to have this communion relationship, to experience him and to enjoy him, and to be fruitful and multiply, have a pleasant life. What and where and how will it be that when you look all the way through history, let's use, for example, Egypt, a whole nation, completely, a culture has been established that completely has no presence of God. And this culture is so established that even the presence of God within that culture has to be put in a cage and suppressed. Or is it the Assyrian Empire? Or is it the Babylonian Empire? These are systems, these are culture, these are governments, these are mountains of influence. If you put them together, they've established an empire that eventually takes over other nations. And then out of this great mountain of empire influence, every other nation bows and completely are subdued and ruled over to make sure that God has no presence in their nations. And the only thing is for man to be exalted and Satan to be glorified. What happened to the Grecian Empire or the Roman Empire? Now, when you mention these empires, we're talking about influence, kingdoms that had no place for God, but they reigned in this earth. Let's not look very far back. Even now in our generation, we are facing the same expression of the nations arising to the point where they are beginning to push literally God out of the culture, even the mention of God. How does that happen? How could men get to that? What is the influence? What's behind it? What's driving men to this point? What is this that Jesus came on earth? And right after he's now prepared for his ministry and is now wanting to serve represent the true heart of the Father on earth, he's telling his disciples, says, all the way from everything Moses wrote from Genesis and to the law, and all the things the prophet said, all the way to John the Baptist, the kingdom of God has suffered violence. Up till now. But the violence will take it by force. What is he talking about? What is it, the kingdom, all these things I just explained? How is it? Who is behind taking literally the minds of nations? Kingdoms that has nothing to do with God, but God owns this world. But they rule. And they kind of put people who believe in God in a corner. But there's something, before we go any further, there's something God has also shown all through history. As these nations rise, and these nations become absolutely ungodly, and they are ruling, the kingdom of God now has suffered violence. They've taken over the minds of the people, and now the nations are ruling. For some reason, God also allowed certain things to run through the nations to show that if we can really, really seriously, as a people, can discover this secret, it does not take a whole lot of believers to take the nations back, to take things back. Now, he gave examples. In the midst of this crisis in the days of Noah, Noah found favor with God. One man's obedience is the reason we are alive here today. One man's place of righteousness is the reason we are here today. The rest of the world was gone. He looked at the days of Abraham. He pulled one man out of the culture of the world and used that man to raise a standard. And Abraham was literally a prince to kings. He kings and nations honored him. He was a nation among nations. And through that one man, look at another example with Joseph. One man somehow found something about this, the kingdom, and how to take the nations back. Obeyed that track, and this man ruled literally in the kingdom of Egypt that was ruling the world and became an advisor to the king. And the king said, whatever you say, that's what my people will rule by. So God used that man. And then again, another example, Daniel. One man who refused to compromise the culture of the kingdom of God, God was able to bring him, and he was able to take back. And in the mountain of the greatest influence in that generation, Babylon, Daniel was able to speak. That the king was able to literally say, the God of Daniel shall the nations bow to. The obedience of one man caused the most prideful, powerful king in the world to become an animal. What God was saying and is still saying to us is, no matter the violence the kingdom of God has suffered, meaning the nation's mind has moved towards and against God, if we only can find and go back to whatever these people had, and whatever they did, God says, we will take it by force. Amen? So, these principles are in the Bible. Like you see in the book of 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, like the word came. The book of Joel, calling for a solemn assembly. Why a solemn assembly? So, I want to briefly share with you as we lay this foundation that if we will truly, with all that God will empower us through this training, we truly yield to God corporately, the number does not matter. Sometimes we fill up stadiums and our prayers don't even push a demon out of the atmosphere. If we will truly respond and give ourselves to the things that we're going to be empowered to do this weekend, God is going to do something. So I want to share just from the very little glimpse that the Lord is allowing me to see. One of the ways that we can take back what has been taken from us. Amen? It's not something you expect is the answer, but hopefully the Lord will open our eyes to see it. So I want to read something to you from the book of Isaiah. And then I'll read from Ezekiel. Isaiah chapter 14. I will read from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into the heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Hallelujah. Let's open to the book of Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. I want to read another scripture from the book of Ezekiel 28. Please, it will be important for you to see this as we read it together. I'll read from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus says the Lord God, thou that sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, the gold, and the gold, the workmanship of thy timbrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountains of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. Listen to this. Till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. 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 And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So he built a new mountain. I've cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So in Isaiah, he wants to establish his own mountain. And I will destroy thee O covering cherub from the midst of the stones of fire. Verse 17. I want you to take note of verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up. Pride. Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness, your glory. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuary by the multitude of thy iniquities. For by thy iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee. And I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And they shall know, they will know, and they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shall thou be any more. Yes, we'll stop there. Father, open our eyes and our understanding. As you teach us, O God, the weapons of our warfare and our carnal. And Father, as you empower us, as you're preparing us and positioning us to watch you, God, take back what belongs to you into the hands of your children once again. And that you will plunder the nations and the souls of God that are in the hands of darkness back into light for the glory of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The kingdom of God suffered violence. The violent take it by force. Where did this war begin? And what kind of violence started this warfare? And everything I shared with you earlier, how will this strategy of the enemy be so powerful that it has controlled nations up till this moment and literally has the ability to take over even the church of the living God? You see, from the scriptures we just read, Lucifer was an anointed, powerful creature in God's throne, literally in heaven. Amen? If you fall from heaven, where else are you going to go? He was right there in the holiest of all places. But there was something that was discovered in him. And whatever this thing is, was the first war that separated heaven and divided heaven and caused a lot of angels to follow. It literally split heaven and took a lot of angels away with the same heart. And that's where the violence started. And then it was brought down to the earth. And it started with man in the garden. What was this violin? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah 14 that there was a desire that was in Lucifer's heart to take the throne of God, to sit on the throne of God. And that desire and that fire, that longing that was in Lucifer's heart to take the throne of God, to sit on the throne of God, was explained in Ezekiel 28, that one of that expression of that desire is categorized as a character called pride. That was the first ever revealed manifestation of self outside of God that desires to rule and to sit on a throne outside of God. When God exposed this fire and God revealed this and Lucifer was cast out and his angels, I'm just reading this one, going to when Lucifer was cast out, which embodies pride, which embodies self, which embodies what we call darkness, or what we call today the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness. The very throne of that kingdom is built on pride. It was born through pride and is built on pride. It was later, through the rest of the scriptures, you see God exposing that I resist pride. I give grace to the humble. All before a fall comes pride. And all the things to do with pride. It's a mystery. But pride is not just, pride is a characteristics. It's a nature. And this nature is self-enthronement, self-exaltation. And it's a passionate desire to sit on God's throne. So when this was discovered on Lucifer's heart, I want you to see this. The question I was asking the Lord is, what will make somebody be cast away from heaven? We are wanting to go to heaven. Somebody was already there and was cast out. Whatever that thing is what is ruling the world today. Now, really quickly, let me share how the Lord revealed this and why this has something to do with this gathering. Satan, knowing that he's fallen, he's lost heaven and will never return. Knowing he has lost the great, he now embodies hell. He knows that he now embodies darkness. He will never return. The angels with him, never. It's over. It's final. So now, he's determined to wage a war in a violent way to dethrone or take over anything that relates to the things of God on earth. Amen? How did he fight the first battle? How did he take over man the first time? How did he violently take man? And then how did Jesus take it back? You see, God says the heaven is my throne and the earth is my... Meaning, I don't have shortage of power. But when I look in the earth, I can't find where to put that power that is big enough to do business for me. That's Isaiah 66. So now, when Adam and Eve were planted, the first thing God did was he gave them rulership of the earth. He gave them dominion. If you study what dominion means, rule and reign. And then he used the word subdue. Everything God said, subdue, meaning you have the right to trample, that word trample, rule over, reign over. That was delegated to the first people, the first church, the first people in the garden. It was given, and it was given. But Satan came, knowing that they were in the presence of God, Adam and Eve. He has been there. He knew that anybody can be in the presence of God. He was there. He was among the best. You all know Lucifer's position. He was there in the holiest of all. He lost God. So he knew that
Having this wonderful presence of God is great. Having God visit you in the mountain is great. Having God move, having anointing, he's anointed, is wonderful. But he knows that there's something that can separate men from God. And he knows that men are ignorant of it. So his battle is not always after anointing. His battle is to sow the seed, to plant the seed of pride. All he wants to do is plant it and goes away. When pride germinates, it will produce fruit. It's a tree. And God represented Satan's embodiment in the garden as a tree of knowledge of good and evil. But that tree also has fruit. So when God told them not to eat of it, you know, but anyway, you all know the story. So what happened here is, how you know that that fruit carries power, conveys a message between about this warfare. Because God told Adam, you've disobeyed me. How did they get there? The devil came, he did not beat them, he did not take away the anointing that was clothing them. He didn't tell them where they're naked. He didn't tell them, oh, how wonderful. He didn't tell them, look at all the blessings God gave to you. They had everything. They lacked nothing. He didn't tell them anything. He just simply came in with a strategy Paul described as the wiles of the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6. The wiles, that word wiles, if you study, means strategy. The slyness, or what you represent as serpent, the trickery, the slyness of the enemy. He came in with that strategy, and he was able to convince Eve, for them to disobey God. It wasn't just eating, it was disobedience. And as soon as that happened, do you know what Eve described that fruit to be? It says, this fruit is pleasant to the eyes. It will make me wise, and it is good for food. So that's where the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. So when they ate that, when disobedience came to one man, to them, they lost their delegated power, authority, and they gave it. Now the kingdom, the power that was given to them, now was built to operate through pride. And ever since that time, Satan used that power to bring men under his dominion, under his rulership, in whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the world. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
But there's something that happened in that garden that Adam and Eve did not catch on time. I'll rush through this. Adam and Eve did not realize it on time that this was God's strategy to destroy Satan's plan. This was God's strategy to take back what the enemy was trying to steal violently. And the strategy was, God came to Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam started justifying sin. Started justifying. So how did he justify sin? He says, it's the woman that you gave me. He blamed the woman. Eve, will you be the answer? Will you make a way of escape so that people will take this thing back? Eve says, no. It's the devil that caused it. Self-justification is the power of pride. They were now blinded. And at this point, you can never see yourself anymore. They didn't see themselves anymore. They started seeing, blaming other people and blaming themselves and gave Satan power. That's why Satan told Jesus, this thing was given to me. If you will bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. So, God has a key to always get back and always win every battle. There are battles you don't bind the devil. There are battles, the only way you win is repentance. You can't bind the devil that is already controlling you. You've eaten the fruit. You've obeyed him. Now you want to bind him. God is just saying, looking for repentance. Instead of Adam saying, I am sorry, I am wrong, and that would have been the end of it. They would have been restored. Instead of Eve saying, I'm sorry, I am wrong, we did it. So that was it. So repentance is one of the most hidden things that Satan does not want us to understand. Because repentance opens the window for humility and meekness. Amen? And pride is the stronghold of blindness. So, when Jesus came, and he now, of course, he's stepping in and taking things back, but he's preparing generations to come how to take back the kingdom, how to take back their position, how to rule again, how to step back into a place of rulership. The first thing he said was, the kingdom of God is now here. But the first word he says is what? Repent. The first word is, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. In other words, there is something we have to go back to for us to have the position to take back again what belongs to the kingdom and for us to be part of that. Repentance is the most powerful weapon God has given to us as a body. Satan will not let us see it because of pride. Let me give an example. Satan had Nineveh wrapped up for destruction. Because the word, how many of you know that the word Satan means your accuser? Accuser. Amen? In Revelation, it's called accuser of the brethren. Has somebody ever taken you to court and accused you? See, that word accuse is Satan will cause you to do something bad and then accuse you. And that's where Nineveh was. But how did Nineveh get back their kingdom? How did they recover back? How did they survive? How did they get back? Through repentance. They literally nullify Satan's ability for that nation to be destroyed. It wasn't binding the devil or doing, we are sorry. They repented with their heart broken, and that was it. They were there. Satan's plan, everything was canceled, and that nation moved into, recovered for years until they never repented. So when Jesus came, he knew that he will embody God in the flesh. He's going to pay the price, and that's God coming in the flesh. He gave us an example of how to take back the kingdom by force. And here's the example he gave. And it's found in Philippians 2. He says, though he is equal with God, Paul was saying, he is God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They just have different positions, but they are one. But when he came into this world, he came and became flesh. Then he said, he was not only flesh, he stooped lower than flesh and served even men that are flesh. And then, not only that, he took meekness to another level. And that was when Satan was defeated. And everything that was lost in the garden, everything Jesus said, all power, all things has now given to me. He took the keys of hell and death. Jesus did not defeat the devil by binding him. He had power to. He didn't defeat the devil by calling all the legions of angels. He says, I could do that. He didn't defeat the devil by using all the power he has, because he came to do one thing. He came to destroy the works of the devil. and that walk, and the very seat of that walk, that came all the way from heaven and contaminated the bloodline of man, is pride. So he had to take the most humble position. Humility or meekness is a character of the fruit of the Spirit. He took on this nature, Philippians 2 says, and died. We could not repent. We could not turn. Enough for God to bring us. So Jesus had to die, repented for us, took on our sin, took on everything. And by going to that level, he defeated the devil. Satan today has been defeated and we stay defeated. It can never be reversed. It's over. The blood is a witness that has been done. It's finished. And how did that happen? Through somebody who submitted on the cross. Shameful death. Mocked him. Did everything. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, if the princes of this world, Satan and all his gangs, they knew wisdom, they would not have crucified the Son of God. So why did I say this? Many of us, God is trying to take us to this level of ruling with him. But we are very quick to bind the devil when we are suffering for Christ. When we are obeying God, we are going through, and then we are facing the sufferings of the cross. Many times we think it's the devil. The Bible says, through Joseph to his brothers, God led me ahead through this path to be a deliverer. How did Joseph become a light in his generation? It was through crisis of his life. Every one of those crises, he did not murmur. He did not complain. He did not accuse anybody. He submitted to the God who is able to justify him. And by doing that, God was able to strip him off of pride and used him as an example of the position God wants to give kings in the earth that are believers. Pharaoh literally said to Joseph, by your word shall this kingdom be ruled. How did Joseph get there? Somehow, he had to get to that pit. He had to die to flesh and pride, everything, for God to take him to the place he can trust him. How did David become king for Israel? He went through fire. He didn't complain. He didn't murmur. Even when he was right, Saul was doing everything to him. He did not lift his finger one time to fight Saul back. Today, we want to call fire to destroy people. If God gives you power, you will destroy all of us. Like Elijah, if I offend you, fire. If I offend you, fire. There's nothing wrong calling fire. There's a place to call fire. But not everything you're calling fire. You will kill all of us. Amen? The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God are built on character, not anointing. And our flesh does not have the character to sustain the presence of God. So God says, this wineskin has to die. So that the true wineskin, the spirit man, is the only thing that has the capacity to carry the holiness of God. So when God is looking for a place to establish power, to show nations, president, all these presidents and all these people making this law, they are really crying out for God. But God is saying, where is the place I can build? Where is the place I can establish my throne in the earth? But to this man, to this woman, to somebody that has allowed God to break them to the point now they are meek. Jesus says, I'm meek and lowly of heart. Amen? The Paul that we read about today that shook the whole world. I don't know if we read about that Paul very well. Nobody has suffered like that man. Nobody has carried a cross like that man. Today we suffer a little bit, we complain. We can't even be faithful in the church. Everything is complain and murmur. The children of Israel, this is not the day to talk about complaint, but they say we complain and murmuring is as evil as homosexuality. Backbiting. The reason I say that is these are all the manifestations of the fruit of pride. Somebody can complain and complain. They will literally almost cause you to almost give up your ministry because you can't handle the accusation and complaining. Just because they don't want to die to something that is in them. Amen? So, why a solemn assembly? Why? Because in 2 Chronicles 7, we read always the 14, if my people that are called by my name, no, 12 and 13 says, if I withhold rain, if heaven is shut, if this is happening, God didn't say, go call the world so that, he says, the problem is not with man, it's with my people. And what God was looking for, the first word God said, let me just read it and then we'll close. Because tomorrow, I believe, you'll be hearing a lot from the various people God has prepared for this meeting. Let's look again one more time at 2 Chronicles 7. I want you to see something there. 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night after this wonderful glory, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayers and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut of heaven that there be no rain, you know what rain means to crops. Or if I command locusts to devour, things are happening that we think is the enemy. Or if I command pestilence, like we see happening among my people. Verse 14, this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall what? The first thing God says is, what has kept you from me is pride. You have eaten something that has caused your heart to be so lifted up, and that thing has pushed me away from you. And your prayers can't get through. So now, heaven is not responding. It says, if we will humble ourselves and pray. For God to ask us to humble ourselves, you could imagine the pride. You could imagine the self-dependence itself. You know, pestilence are like, you know, locusts in the book of Joel, it's like enemies. Whatever it's, you know, we want to bind this and bind that and bind this. There's a place for that. Jesus says, of course, when you've come into that position of righteousness, into that place where God, you have established that surrender. He says, I'll give you keys, you do, you bind you. But this thing here is talking about, he's saying, this is not the time for bind this and blame this person and blame. He says, if I will find humility, I will come down again. And I will take care of business. I will give you the things I promise you. I will take care of your enemies. I will bring the harvest in again. I will take the locusts out. I will do all these things. But the only thing that is holding it is you've exalted yourself above me. You don't want to depend on me again. You don't want to look to me. You're now looking to yourself. And now, I can't do anything. Basically, that's what he's saying here. So if my people that have come by my name, if you want me back, that's why the book of Joel says, that's why we're using this theme. Joel got this prophecy and said, these Babylonians, these people, they are eating us up. No rain, our crops, everything. The enemy is taking over. We are becoming... He said, you know what? We can't fight. We can't do this. But there's something we can do. Let's call a solemn assembly. What is a solemn assembly? Joel says, let's not come with this repentance of our lips. He says it's time to rend our hearts. It's time to get real with God and say, God, you're right. There's something in my heart that has closed heaven. There's something in our hearts that have closed heaven. God, forgive us. If it means for us to lay on the floor all day, if it means for us to gather and weep, if it means for, because he told Isaiah, he says, why are you bringing worship for me when you go the next minute and commit adultery and sacrifice, you know, and you come and you worship me? It might not be all those kind of sacrifices, but God is calling for serious brokenness. God is calling for serious brokenness. God doesn't want us to blame the homosexuals. He doesn't want us to blame the politicians. God is saying, you know me already. You are my child. Like somebody said here, if the church, if we turn around, the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, kings will come to the rising of the glory. They will come with everything. Why? They come to seek the presence of the Lord. They will come with everything. It's in the Bible. It's happened in the past. Kings are asking for Jesus. Asking. If so, the purpose of this gathering, by the grace of God, is maybe if God will grant us the grace to truly rend our hearts. Like the word says, let us, our program not be the normal program, but let it be the program of God for this moment, that as we yield ourselves this season and truly be broken before God, who knows what God will do? Joel says he might surprise us and leave us a blessing. Amen? And in closing, Satan has lost his power. The only place Satan rules is where there is pride. There's a difference between anointing. There's a difference between ruling. An old lady, an old man, you might not know who that person is, might just live in a house. But because of their place of holiness and righteousness and their place of humility, they command things in the spiritual atmosphere of a city and a nation that Samson and his anointing is carrying him to Delilah's lap. And he can't even not do nothing. Money, woman, and position are deadly. And pride eats it up like water. And the devil loves it. Because once you have that, you can't rule him. You can't control him. You can't tell him over his city, stop. And he stops. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. What are you telling me to do? I can't get out of the city. You don't have. Who are you? So, my brothers, as we gather this season, as we prepare to take back the place of influence God has given to us, delegated it to us, and Jesus has come and literally given it even in a greater way through his blood, may we come this season carrying our hearts and our families and whatever, that through our brokenness, whatever God will do, we should be open. I believe God will speak to us in this season if we're open. Amen? That God will do something. We all will leave knowing we've encountered God and God has visited America. I know we're in a new season and I really believe that God is going to do major things in this place. Again, thank you for coming. Thank you for being obedient. Together, let us allow pride and lust for anything. Let's see how we can throw it out of the window in this 2-3 days and say, God, have your way. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up together and we'll pray and then we'll bring her. I was going to pray, but I was just going to ask one of our leaders here, Pastor Adeni, can you just lead us in praying into this area? And then Yvonne will come and close us. Thank you so much.
Praise the Lord. Please, let's bring ourselves before the Lord tonight. We've had a whole lot of things, and I think the repentance begins with us as individuals, coming before the Lord and asking that the Lord will look down on us as individuals, that our heart be humbled and that we humble ourselves. Because when we are humbled, there is nothing God cannot do. So let's go before the Lord. Just ask God to help us as we come tonight. We want to pray that God will help us to, that our gathering this weekend will not be in vain. Let's humble ourselves before the Lord. If my people who are called by my name, we are the people that are called by the name of the Lord. So let's humble ourselves before Him tonight. We are the ones that need to humble ourselves. There is nothing God cannot do for a humble man. The Bible says, the Lord so high, He condescends to men who have contrite spirit. Men who are humble in their heart. Men who don't think too much of themselves. Men who give glory to God. Men who allow God to be God. And they know that they are just human. And there's just little that we can do. Without Him, we can do nothing. And so this weekend, as we come, we want to ask God to help us. We want to ask Him that by His Spirit, He will visit us. He will touch us. We want the brokenness to begin with us. If we individually are broken before God, God is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we are even able to ask or think. But it has to begin with us. Our hearts must be willing to submit and surrender before God. We have to be willing to give ourselves totally unto the Lord. So let's ask Him to help us. Let's pray that our hearts will be open to the Word of God and our hearts will be broken before Him. The Lord will give us grace to humble ourselves. Great promises that God has given unto us, but it begins with our own humility. God will not be able to do much for us if we are not humble. God detests a proud heart. He's very far away from Him. But when we are humble, there is nothing we cannot get from God. And this weekend, we are trusting God that with all humility, God will do great things, beginning with us as individuals. The Lord will help us. The Lord will assist us. Please remember, there is nothing that anyone wants to be that Satan has not been. The head of the heavenly choir, Son of the rising sun, the one that sings for God in the morning until pride came in. We are aspiring to be in heaven. He's been there before. And now He's been cast down. And we are looking up to go up to heaven. We know what brought Him down. And now God has given us the solution. If we are humble, where we can never get ourselves to, God will get us there. He has the power to do it. And so let's ask that the Lord will help us as individuals, even as a congregation, as we come here during this weekend, we will come with humility. We don't want to come with a holier-than-thou attitude. We don't want to feel like we have arrived and we are here to deliver people. God is the one who is delivering. And when we bow before Him, He will do His work. Beyond and above what we are able to do or we are able to say, God is able to do much more for every one of us and for his church. So let us pray. I believe that there are mighty army of God here tonight. God will raise us up. God will help us. And through humility, we will be able to get the power that we need for such a time like this. This is a very special time in our lives as individuals and the life of the nation. But we are available for God to be used. But we have to be broken men and women. We have to be humble men and women. Let's pray for that spirit that God is looking for. The spirit that God can use. The spirit that God is able to make use of. God will find that spirit in us. God will find it in our midst. And God will move mightily in the midst of his people. God will turn us to a mighty army. Yes, the kingdom suffered violence. But the violence is not a physical one, it's a spiritual one. Those who have poverty of spirit, those who have fire in their bones, those who are seeking the Lord, those who are looking unto him by faith, those who trust him, that with God nothing is impossible. Those who know that all things are open to him with whom we have to do. And the power to do is with him. And he's able to give it to us. So let's pray for that kind of spirit as we all come before him. Bible says the Lord has redeemed Jacob and ransom him from the hand of him that was stronger than he is. God is able to ransom us and redeem his people from the hand of those that are stronger, from the hand of Satan. The power of Satan will not be able to defeat the church, but the church has to be broken. The church has to humble. The people of God must come humbly before God. So God will give us that grace to humble ourselves. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Our Father, we thank you tonight. We are grateful for your Son that you have used. And we thank you for the congregation that are gathered here. We thank you because you have stirred us up for such a time like this. Lord, help us to humble ourselves. You will not do it for us. We have to do it by ourselves. You expect us to humble ourselves, to come before you with contrite heart. Lord, tonight, on behalf of the congregation, we are pleading and asking you will give us the grace to humble ourselves, to come before you in humility, trusting and believing that in your majesty you will do great things, that you will break the teeth of the devil, you will break down his power. All his craftiness shall be defeated. Every strategy and wiles of the enemy shall be broken down. And your people will prevail. Father, in the strength of the Lord we come this weekend. We pray that you will visit your people. And you will visit the nation. And the glory of God shall be seen. Thank you, Lord. We bless and glorify you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor Peter, I don't want to chop up your name. Odabagdo, please come up. And while he's coming, I just want to give you some announcements. If you do not have a bag and a badge, it means you haven't registered. So before you go, make sure you take care of that. Remember, registration is free, but it's important that we know that you were here. Amen? And we all are going to be all, what's that word? Obedient. Hallelujah. Amen. We have refreshments through that door. So make sure you go and help yourself to some of that. And, of course, how can we say thanks to you for taking the time to be here? I'm going to hand over to Pastor now. And you could take us through the grace.
Praise the Lord. As we close today, let us just stand up and give him praise. Because the Lord is good. This is a wonderful night. This is a powerful night. God is good. Yes, you are the Lord. Most high. Yes, you are the Lord. Most high. Yes, you are the Lord. Hosanna. Yes, you are the Lord. More. One more time. Yes, you are the Lord. Hosanna. Yes, you are the Lord. Two prayer before I share the grace, and then we can go home. Let us just bless the Lord for the speaker tonight. It's been powerful here tonight. The Lord has blessed his people tremendously. Let us thank God for this new beginning, this powerful beginning. And let us thank God for those, for safe arrival here. Let us thank God this night is a powerful night. Let us bless his name. Let us bless his name. He started powerfully with us today. We give him all glory. We give him all honor. We give him all glory. Father, we give you praise. We receive the blessing tonight with thanksgiving. We bless you the way that you have blessed us, O Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus' name we pray. Let us pray that Lord will renew the strength of his servant that he has used tonight. Also, we are going to pray for the rest of the section tomorrow. Shall be powerful. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you renew the strength of your servant.